apologize. We did have a technical glitch. I can't explain it, but we had one. We had a double audio. I heard the audio myself, overplaying what I had already said. I guess these things do happen. We can kill the music now. Let's kill the music. Finian, are you on? Finian? Do we have Finian on? Is Finian connected? Let's get him back on the line again. Anyway, I was explaining a little bit about what's going on in Syria. I'll do it until Finian comes back on, and then I'll get him on for his comments. He's been writing a great deal about it. I've been writing daily articles on Syria. Most days I've written two articles. I've literally got two written today, and I'm working on a third. If I have time, I'll finish the third one, and I'll get all three of them out tomorrow. I simply can't get off the Syria story. I'm doing it every single day. I've never done anything like this before, but we saw this happen before. We saw the wrongful attack in Afghanistan, the war in Afghanistan based on lies, the war in Iraq based on lies, the war against Libya based on lies. We've seen a proxy war against Syria based on lies. Now we see Obama ready for what he calls a token limited response, and I call it what it is. It's shock and awe. Finian, are we connected again?
Hi, Stephen. Can you hear me?
Finian?
Hi, Stephen. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I've been saying plenty, and I want to let you jump in. We both know what's going on in Syria. I've explained it a little bit. Let me let you have your say and explain the way you see things are unfolding in Syria.
Well, see, first of all, apologies to the listeners for any kind of problems with the transmission. As you say, I'm quite far away from you. But yes, Stephen, look, what you said was just brilliant. I mean, I think it sums it up, and I can't really add too much more, but I'll try to. I think we're just in a situation here of complete lawlessness, state terrorism writ large. The United States government has been getting away with it for decades in the Caribbean, in Central America, South America, Africa, all over Asia, all over the world. I mean, it's just lawlessness, it's gangsterism, dressed up with various pretexts like protecting the free world from communism, fighting drugs, fighting terrorism. But at the bottom, the bottom line is that the United States ruling elite is completely, completely out of control and have been for decades. But now what's becoming really transparent, and it is beautiful in a way, the transparency, is that the ruling elite of the United States of America is being shown for what really is, and that's a state terrorist, lawless organization. They're about to attack Syria for trumped up charges. And the laugh about it is, Stephen, the bitter, ironic laugh about it is that the chemical weapons that have been used in Syria have most definitely been used by the mercenaries that the United States is supporting, along with European colonial states like France and Britain and Saudi Arabia and Israel and Turkey. Now, so the perpetrators of this chemical poison gas attack in Damascus on the 21st of August, and before that there was another incident in the place of Khan al-Assal near Aleppo. These crimes are being committed by the so-called rebels that the Western media, you know, give this romantic name to. They're just mercenaries that are foot soldiers, they're death squads that are operating on behalf of the United States and the European colonial powers like Britain and France, plus, you know, regional proxies like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Israel and Turkey. So the horrible, despicable irony of this is that the United States of America is about to launch a war on the people of Syria on the basis of a crime that is most probably committed by the proxies that they're supporting in Syria. How ludicrous, how despicable can you get? That's my take on it, Steve. Sorry, give me yours again.
Well, I certainly agree with all of that, Finney. And again, I apologize to listeners for the technical glitch. That does happen every now and then. Even the big boys, the networks, the cable companies, the big cable providers with deep pockets and millions of dollars that they can spend, they have problems. If they have problems, anybody can have problems. Technical glitches happen, again, yeah. But I do want to apologize for it. There's no question. The notion, Finney, as we both know, that when I use the term rebel, I really do, but when I use it, I put it in quotes, because the people fighting this war against Syria, they're not rebels. They're Western-enlisted death squads. They're terrorists. They're cold-blooded killers. That's what they are. They're recruited from dozens of countries, including Europe. Maybe there is some in America. I don't know. I don't know all the countries they're coming from, mainly in the Middle East, also Pakistan, Afghanistan, some of the other countries close by, and they funnel in complicit countries bordering on Syria, like Turkey and Jordan and Israel, are complicit in the carnage that's been going on since March 2011. It's going to continue, and Obama just about declared war by the spurious accusations that hold no water whatsoever, that they have clear, irrefutable proof. They have nothing whatsoever, as we know, Finian. They make it all up. They manufacture it out of whole cloth. Yeah. And the idea that there's a civil war going on, there's nothing civil about what's going on in Syria. It's a foreign invasion against a sovereign country.
Steve,
and I'll just sum it up.
I think that the UN figures, data that the UN has puts the number of countries from these mercenaries emanate from at around 30 countries, including the likes of Chechnya, Libya, Egypt, Tunisia, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, 30 countries. And the most of the people doing the fighting in Syria against the Syrian army are foreign mercenaries. There no doubt, Stephen, there is an element within Syria who are opposed to the administration or the incumbent government. There's no doubt about that. And you know, any country that you would go to, you will always have a constituency that is opposed to, very implacably opposed to the incumbent administration. But, I mean, as you said in your introduction, Stephen, the vast majority of the Syrian people, 70% or more, support the government of Bashar al-Assad, so it's a sovereign government. It's got a popular mandate, and it's absolutely untenable for external parties like the United States, like Britain, like France, to be supporting groups and within that state to try and topple it. I mean, it's completely untenable to try and make out that it's some kind of uprising, popular uprising, that the Western states are obligated to support out of humanitarian or moral reasons. It's completely untenable. And it's an attempt to subvert a sovereign state by using proxy agents infiltrating the agents into Syria. I mean, they've come from all around the world, 30 countries, as I've said before. Now, the route is that they usually come into Turkey. They are trained up, or some are shaped up by the CIA in a place called Incirlik. It's a NATO base in southern Turkey, and from there they are then infiltrated into Syria. Also from Jordan, is another conduit. But it's a very blatant attempt to subvert a sovereign country from the outside by using proxy mercenaries that are trained up by the Americans and the British and the French, the Turks, and weaponized by Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Israel. And they are sent in very blatantly to subvert the government. I mean, can you imagine if somehow, Stephen, the tables were turned and say, I don't know, some foreign country was infiltrating proxy mercenaries into the United states and, you know, committing, you know, heinous crimes against humanity, terrorism, various cities and towns throughout the United States. Do you think for 1 minute, Stephen, that the Western media would be allowed to lionize these groups, like the French or the British media could be allowed to lionize such groups doing what they're doing in the United States? Do you think that the United States would not respond with an iron fist and probably kill lots of its own citizens in the process? You know, the double standards here, the double thing is just unbelievable. But that's permitted because the Western media, the mainstream media, allows for these kind of, you know, these ridiculous travesties to take place, you know, by their brainwashing and deforming all the reality of what's going on. But if you put it in very stark terms about like a similar process or scenario in the United States to be happening, or Britain or France, you know, it would be completely intolerable and would be just dismissed as rightly so, you know, as an external subversion. But somehow it's allowed to take place in Syria.
The bottom line on Syria, as we both know, Finian, is Syria is a sovereign, independent country. It is not in the Western orbit. The plan, which is Washington's plan, it was planned years ago. It wants to remove, it wants to destroy its Syria's sovereign independence. It wants to replace it with pro-Western puppet governance. It's exactly what happened in Afghanistan. Things aren't going so well there. It happened in Iraq. They're not going well there either. It happened in Libya. Same thing. These countries are cauldrons of violence. And of course, war is raging in Afghanistan. If America doesn't pull up stakes and leave, which it will not do, that war could go on for another decade. It's already longer than World War One and Two put together. That's an astonishing fact, but it's true. It's the longest war in America's history. It'll never end unless Washington decides it just can't win this war, and it decides to just give it up and quit and leave, and the Afghans will not accept a U.S. occupation. The Libyans don't want it. The Iraqis don't want it. The Syrians don't want it, whether it's proxy, whether it's U.S. troops on the ground. But this is the issue in Syria, and now the stakes are about to be escalated. I think there's a good chance before the weekend ends, Finian, that we could see what I call bombs away against Syria. Mm-hmm. And it will not be a limited strike. There are hundreds of cruise missiles on four or five U.S. destroyers. They're powerful munitions. They range from carrying 1,000-pound warheads to deep-penetrating, hugely destructive, bunker-busting power. They can either be conventionally or nuclear armed. Can you imagine if hundreds of these target sites in Syria? They'll cause immense damage. They could kill thousands of people. Yeah. They'll mostly be civilians. The U.S. scoundrel media, as I call them, will not report this. And this is what goes on. And they point fingers the wrong way, Finian. And Assad gets blamed for the crimes that America bears full responsibility for, and it's unleashing them through these proxy death squads. That's the story you'll never hear on CNN or CBS or NBC or from the New York Times. You'll hear it on this program.
Yeah. Stephen, well said. I mean, well said. I can't keep up with you. You know, look, you're making such, you know, strong punches there. I would like to add, Stephen, that you know, I mean, all the evidence. I mean, Kerry's statement last night, at least came here at night time. I mean, I read his case. I mean, the headlines at first a little bit, you know, alarmed me, like, okay, maybe there's some new evidence here that we haven't heard before. But when I read through what he was saying about this chemical, the so-called definitive evidence against the Assad government, you know, condemning it for using chemical weapons, I mean, it was just all full of bombast and the usual reiteration of hollow rhetoric, fabrication, lies, assertions. There was nothing what he was saying that brought anything to the table as far as factual substance goes. So here we go again. I mean, 10 years ago, they launched a genocidal war on Iraq with the help of the British and a few other NATO puppet minions, causing something like a million deaths or more, multiples of that, refugees, homeless people, orphans. Now, you know, 10 years later, we're expected to believe these state terrorists when they come out with a litany of assertions and rhetoric and hyperbole about Syria, about the allegedly the chemical weapons, and yet all the evidence, Stephen, points to the so-called rebels, these merchants the West is backing up in Syria.
Again, it's a deplorable situation. We both were on Press TV, Finian. I recommend Press TV to all of my listeners. It's a marvelous, marvelous service. They have me on often. In the last week, I've had about four interviews on Press TV, just on Syria. And Friday, after Kerry, was it Friday? My goodness, I lose track of the days. Right after Kerry gave his duplicitous explanation of irrefutable evidence, indisputable, all this duplicitous language that he used, his entire commentary was bluster. There was not an inch of substance in it. There was nothing there. There was no there. If there was clear irrefutable evidence, he would have explained it clearly, saying things like we intercepted communications. Well, what are the communications? Let's hear them. How did you get them? How could you credibly prove that what you claim you have isn't fabricated and fake? Well, there's no way to do it because it is fabricated and fake. It's all fake. And everything else he said, I had to sit there and listen to a good bit of what he said, and Press TV had me on as soon as he finished to comment on it. Well, I pulled no punches. I called him a liar. He's a liar. Of course he's a liar. Yeah. And I wrote about what he said. I've got an article I'll put out tomorrow, Finian, where I titled it. I could have used a number of titles. I've used a lot of titles. I've written so often in Syria, Finian, I'm running out of titles to use. But you have a marvelous a marvelous title on your next article on Syria, the Coalition of Killing. That's one I wish I thought of myself.
Well, Stephen, I mean, up to now, they got away with these despicable charades by invoking a kind of the international community and these kind of fancy terms, the coalition of the willing. I mean, that's just their cabal of allies like the Britain and a couple of other NATO states and a couple of despotic regimes like Saudi Arabia and Israel, which is a despotic regime. Like, I didn't use that loosely. It's a despotic genocidal regime. But they invoke these proxies, and then they give it this kind of fancy term, like the coalition of the willing. Well, I mean, the situation has got so bad in terms of public intolerance and public disgust and indignance towards this endless, relentless kind of lawlessness of wars that are on spurious grounds. I think, you know, that even the British Parliament was forced into rejecting this motion that the British Prime Minister David Cameron tried to force, this motion that it would support the Americans in this onslaught on Syria. And the British Parliament there this week rejected it by a majority of I can't remember the exact number, 15 or something votes. But now, I mean, for me, the significance of that is not so much that the British political class, their parliamentarians, have suddenly become all ethical. I think they're just reflecting a general disgust among not just the British public, but world public opinion, that people, all workers and families and people of this world are just absolutely sick to the back teeth with this rogue, lawless, endless war-making. And to the British Parliament had to reject this motion. And for me, I see it as a kind of a reflection of something more hopeful, that there's an awakening, a public awareness, a collective consciousness out there that people are not prepared to buy these propagandistic, spurious, fabricated pretexts for war. And so what's ended up is that the United States government is very, very much isolated more than ever. I mean, who are they calling on for this coalition of the willing, so-called? Well, they've got Saudi Arabia and Israel. I mean, that is a risible coalition. I mean, you can't even call it a coalition. It's just a minority of rogue states that are going to, wage war on a sovereign government and a people of Syria. So I would say that it's not so much the coalition of the willing, it's just a coalition of the killing, a coalition of thugs, a minority of thug state terrorists. You know, so the whole kind of like charade of the last 20 years, ever since the fall of the Soviet Union, the fall of the Berlin Wall, this whole new world order that George Bush invoked in 1990, and then they had the first Gulf War. Well, I mean, for the last 20 odd years, Stephen, this kind of a charade is now, the denouement of all this charade is being exposed as just a cloak and a smokescreen for out and out, gangsterism conducted by the United States of America with its cabal of, usual suspect friends. And even they're diminishing, as we saw with the British Parliament vote. So the United States is becoming more and more exposed and isolated as a rogue entity, a threat to humanity, a threat to world peace, a threat to, the proper world order and international relations. And while they might still conduct this war of aggression, this criminal war of aggression on Syria in the next day or two, but I think, Stephen, even if they do, we have reached a threshold, we have reached a Rubicon, we have reached a point in history where humanity en masse can see who is really the threat to world peace. It's not the Soviet Union, it's not communist bogeyman, it's not Islamist terrorists and all this kind of like all these propaganda stunts. It's the United States of America, its ruling elite. That is who the real threat to world order and peace and international law is. And it's quite a shocking revelation, I think, for most people. But we have reached that point, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing to see it for what it is, because, Stephen, that's what we've always needed to address down through history. We've always needed to address that structure, the ruling elite of America, the whole capitalist system, the relentless desire and imperative for war, the exploitation of resources. That's the problem. And it's at last becoming apparent, I think crystal clear apparent to everybody, what is the real problem in our world? Why is there conflict? Why are there wars? Why is there coups and subversions? It's all becoming very clear to me, and I think lots of other people right now.
Finian, on the 28th of August, Americans celebrated the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. It was 1963. It was an important speech, August 28, 1963. It was an important speech. It deserves to be commemorated. But a more important one was given on April 4th, 1967, a year to the day before Martin Luther King was assassinated by America. James Earl Ray had nothing to do with it. None of these people have anything to do. Sirhan had nothing to do with killing Bobby Kennedy. The same went for Jack Kennedy. All of them were state-sponsored assassinations. But the important thing is, Martin Luther King's speech was titled Beyond Vietnam. He made marvelous, important comments in it. And one of them was saying, America, imagine, this was 36 years ago, America, quote, America is the greatest purveyor of violence in the world. That was then. What would Martin Luther King say today? At the time of his speech, he was pilloried by the U.S. media. Then the speech was buried down the memory hole. It's been forgotten. It's never discussed. When the anniversary comes around, it's never mentioned. It was a very important speech. Martin Luther King was exactly right. America is, by far, the greatest purveyor of violence in the world. Its official policy is state terrorism. There is no other kind of terrorism that's a problem. There is no terrorism in America. And the only terrorism, Finian, that exists anywhere in the world that America has anything to do with is the terrorism that the American policy generates. The only enemies America has are the ones it creates, and it deserves enemies. But America is responsible for horrendous crimes, crimes against humanity, crimes of war, genocide. Millions of lives have been lost post 9/11 alone, plus all the lives that were lost before that. We could go back to the 18th century, the 19th century, the 20th century. There is no nation in the history of the world that's responsible for more violence, more deaths, more destruction, more human misery than America. None. And the idea of calling America a democracy, it's a sham to call it that. It wasn't designed to be a democracy. It never was a democracy. It's not a democracy now. It's a killing machine. It's run by gangsters.
Yeah.
It's run by thugs. They're in it for the money. They're in it for the dominance.
Yeah.
They're in it for the privilege. And they're destroying humanity to get it, Finian. You know this, and I do. And it's important. Everybody does. And it's important that we take a stand against it, because unless we do something, nothing will ever get done. Things, as bad as they are now, Finian, they're going to get worse. And when will people wake up? When martial law is declared? When there's another false flag attack, like the so-called chemical one in Ghouta a week ago Wednesday? It was a false flag. It had nothing to do with the Syrian government.
Yeah.
9/11, a false flag. There probably is another one coming. If there's a big one, wait and see. What happened in Boston, where literally law and order was suspended, martial law was declared, the police had carte blanche to shoot people in plain sight. Any pretext, no pretext. What happened in Boston is coming to America. Is that when people will wake up? When all rights are lost? When tyranny is full-blown? Heaven help us if we wait that long, dear Finian. But I honestly see it coming. We can see the track we're on. It's the same track that happened in the 1930s in Nazi Germany. It's being replicated today.
Yeah. Well, sir, Stephen, it's a wake-up call, and I think you make a very that wake-up call very clearly and urgently, and good for you, Stephen, that you know you're doing your radio broadcast, your writing over there in the United States. I mean, I have great respect for the people of the United States, the ordinary working people, and you mentioned one of the heroes of the United States history there, Martin Luther King. I mean, you know, the people of the United States are everybody, other ordinary people around the world are just fantastic. It's the ruling elite and their system of exploitation and embezzlement that comes under the name of capitalism and free market capitalism. I mean, it's just a system of exploitation and degradation, and then it's manifested through imperialism and wars abroad to corner and command resources. And if somebody stands in the way of that, then they are obliterated or targeted for assassination. And I think, you know, for me, Stephen, my personal view is that, you know, if we to address this warmongering, this constant warmongering, that, you know, a few decades back it was intermittent, an intervention, an invasion, a coup here and there, but now it's just this kind of like seamless, permanent.
Well, indeed, Finian, I must mention that I'm looking,
and I think that's kind of commensurate with the decay of the economic system. The elites, while they're fabulously wealthy, but there's a huge structural problem with the economy. I mean, you've got this vast wealth among a minority and vast poverty among a vast majority. The system is untenable. It's unwieldy. It's unsustainable. And I think that's very contingent on why we are in this kind of warmongering state of affairs, this constant need for war. So I think that fundamentally, yes, of course, oppose wars and foreign interventions and aggression, of course, but fundamentally, the root problem is the kind of aggression and violence underlying all that that's in the American economic system. Well, not just the American economic system, the capitalist economic system, but America is a paradigm of that. But I think we have to address the whole economic relations in society. Why should a small minority of people, a vast wealth, and the vast majority of people have nothing? They're struggling to have a house, they're struggling to have food, they're struggling to have health care. Now, there's something really violent about that huge, grotesque disparity. That in itself is a form of violence. There's manifestations of that, and that's in the form of war, that's in the form of prison populations that are exploding, that's in the form of social dysfunction and meltdown and shootings and all sorts of depraved kind of violence. But fundamentally, the system is the source of that violence. And until, Stephen, we address that and somehow overthrow that system, then we're always going to be... we're always going to be plagued by the violence that comes with it through assassinations, wars, poverty, hunger, disease, ecological destruction. You know, these are just symptoms of the disease that's underlying it all. And that disease is a capitalist system that dictates that people should be exploited. Their blood, flesh, and brains should be exploited to benefit a small minority. That's completely anathema to a civilized world, a civilized society. And we've got to address that. We've got to really, really overthrow that. Then we might be able to see some sanity and peace and civility manifest and reign across the world, where we will really be truly brothers and sisters and neighbours. You know, until we address that, we're always going to be faced with violence, you know. And I think that's what Martin Luther King was very much getting to the nub of, and I think that's why, as you said, Stephen, he was wiped out. He had to be taken out because he was saying things that were so true and pertinent to the fundamental problem of society. And the guy, like so many other people, he had to be taken out because he was too dangerous because he was saying.
Indeed, Finney. And I'm looking at what I think is a live feed from the White House, and there's a podium set up. I don't know whether this is the Rose Garden or some other location, but it looks live because I can see leaves on trees moving and a flag in the background occasionally wafting slight movement. And Obama apparently is close to making a comment, some kind of a statement on Syria. Well, Finney, and my only comment is I already know one article I'm going to write tomorrow. I took Kerry apart from what he said, and whatever Obama says today, I'm going to write about it tomorrow, and I'm going to shred him from one side to the other, from top to bottom. I'm going to lay him low. I'm going to expose his lies. I'm going to do it as critically and as sharply as I can, and above all, as truthfully.
Do you think, Stephen, I'm not seeing the same pictures or feet that you're watching, but do you think this is an announcement coming up from the White House that they're going to launch these cruise missiles in Syria?
I don't think he's going to go that far. The past wars, Afghanistan, Libya, Iraq. The only time we knew that the war started, the Gulf War, the only time we knew the war started is when the bombs started exploding. Finian, I remember exactly where I was, roughly what time of day it was, and what I was doing when the Gulf War began in January 1991. I was in an event that I was holding in a hotel. And all of a sudden, I wasn't watching television. I didn't have time to do that. But I was in an area with other people involved in the event. And all of a sudden, I heard buzzing and talking. And I checked to see what was happening. And I realized that the attack on Iraq had begun. 1991, my goodness. I mean, that was 23 and a half years ago. And the same thing happened with shock and awe against Baghdad in March of 2003. We knew it began. When the bombs started falling, and it'll come after dark because it's easier to conceal what you're doing. But of course, the bombs exploding light up the night sky. And I'll repeat what I said earlier, Finian. There is nothing limited about what's planned. There are four destroyers, I believe five now, because there were four.
Right.
There was a fifth one joining them, each of them armed with hundreds of cruise missiles. They're very powerful munitions. Each one causes enormous damage. I mean, possibly they will launch hundreds of these things. If that isn't shock and awe, I don't know what is.
It's just barbaric, Stephen. It really is, and it's really shocking that the United States ruling elite are so out of control. Even the British. I mean, not because the British political class all of a sudden had a conversion, but they have obviously had to somehow accommodate the public feeling, the public will out there, and that's why this came through last week to negate any idea of having a military intervention in Syria. But from what you're saying, Stephen, count on your judgment. From what you're saying, that the United States elite is completely oblivious, impervious to any kind of public sentiment or will out there, and that's what makes them so dangerous. That they are a completely lawless, terroristic entity that they will just embark on whatever they want to achieve their political goals, and it's very, very disturbing, you know. But as I said to you, Stephen, I think that even if this horrible thing eventuates in Syria, at the same time, I do think that we've reached a kind of a threshold, a sort of a Rubicon in world awareness and collective consciousness, that the United States ruling elite is really now being seen as completely anathema to any kind of civilized world, and they are a lawless pariah entity. But they might still carry out this horrible terroristic assault on Syria, and there will be thousands killed in the process, but in the long run, I think it's going to just backfire on the United States elite in ways that they cannot conceive of, that will be destructive to their stranglehold on the world. And it's all part of their undoing. And I hope that, of course, part of that undoing is that the good people of the United States, the ordinary workers in the United States, the ordinary good people, it will somehow mobilize and galvanize those people to overthrow this lawless entity, this decadent kind of imperious kind of Caesar-like state that the ruling elite Washington represent. It's a very sad day. I mean, I hope to God it doesn't come to this, but that the people of Syria will be violated like this. But even if they do, Stephen, it's one of those situations where I think it's the the end of the, it's the beginning of the end for the out of control people who run this world, and most of them are based in Washington or New York, you know.
Well, indeed, Finney. And the only good news I can make out of what's going on is a marvelous quote that I use over and over again. It came from a Nixon administration official, and his comment applies really across the board. It could be about economics, politics, social issues, anything. But the comment was, what can't go on forever won't. There's an end game to this. Much smarter people than myself have commented on this, that U.S. policy is self-destructive. There are marvelous people who believe, historian Gabriel Kolko, who's written marvelous books, he's an expert on the Vietnam War. He wrote two important books on that war, I think at least two, but I believe he's still living, an aging historian, and he believed that American power began waning during or after the Korean War, if you can imagine that. Another analyst, Emanuel Wallerstein, I think believes that American power began waning during the Vietnam War. I think there's no question that American power is waning. Permanent wars are being waged. They make more enemies than friends. The longer this goes on, Chalmers Johnson had it right. His term was overstretch. And his bottom line was, America can't sustain this. In the end, it's leading to tyranny. It's leading to bankruptcy. It certainly led to moral degradation long, long ago. But all empires met the same fate, and America is no different. The way Chalmers Johnson put it was, America has two choices. It can either choose democracy, which it's never done in its history, or it can lose disillusion and self-destruction. And I wish he were alive today. He died, I believe, it's 2 years ago in November. I only managed to get him on my program, another one that I hosted one time. And I remember, Finian, when I went back to try to get him on again, he begged off, saying he really wasn't feeling well at the time. I had no idea in the world that he was dying. He was dying. And it wasn't all that long after that that I heard the bad news, and I wrote about it, and I titled an article, a title I use many times, Remembering Chalmers Johnson. Anybody can find that article by Googling my name, Remembering Chalmers Johnson. And I believe it was in November 2011. He was a great loss. We really needed him. He was a powerful voice against what's going on now. And he called himself a former spear carrier.
I'm not familiar with his writings very much, but I know he's a I mean, there's so many good, you know, fantastic, legendary thinkers and writers out of the United States. Stephen, what's the situation with the program? Have we got an advertising break coming up? Or?
No advertising. Usually we take a break at the half hour, Finian, but because we lost a few minutes at the beginning, we just went straight through. So we have about 4 minutes
Stephen,
left.
Do you mind if I just make a couple of quick points? I'm sorry to kind of...
Finian, we have about 3 or 4 minutes left, so you take the time and make the key points that you want to make before the program ends.
I just want to mention Lynn Stewart, the American lawyer who's incarcerated on very trumped up charges because she defended people quite ably, and she's dying in prison, but the prison authorities won't release her on compassionate grounds as they should.
Yes,
it's a horrible case.
Lynn Stewart.
Vindictive. Treatment of a great humanitarian. But also, Stephen, I mean, sorry to move on to another subject. I mean, all this talk about chemical weapons and which have been used by Western-backed mercenaries in Syria, and yet in Bahrain, dozens of people have been poisoned in their homes through chemical weapons by the American-backed Al-Khalifa regime and the British-backed Al-Khalifa regime. This is a feudal monarchy, an absolute monarchy that believes that, you know, power, political power and economic privilege are passed down from father to son to grandson. I mean, it's an antithesis of democracy. And yet, the American and the British governments support this entity in Bahrain. Of course, because the American and British governments are not interested in democracy. They want control of resources, so they will put in any stooge that is a antithesis of democracy to hold the fort. So in Bahrain, there are dozens of people being killed in their homes with chemical agents. Now, it's given this euphemism called tear gas, but I can tell you, Stephen, I saw people on the streets being poisoned with very toxic chemicals that weren't tear gas. They were chemicals that are giving symptoms that are being reported in Syria. The chemicals that this Bahraini regime is using with their Saudi sort of backup squadrons that are in there from Saudi Arabia are using chemicals supplied from Britain and America to poison people, babies, elderly people in their homes with chemicals. Now, how is that for? And I really am really struggling, Stephen, to refrain from using an expletive because I am so indignant and angry about this double standard and hypocrisy and contradiction. I mean, people are being poisoned in their homes in Bahrain with chemicals supplied from the United States of America and Britain. And yet, the British and the American governments are making a big deal about a fabricated situation in Syria that they are actually also responsible for. So the charade here is beyond words. It's absolutely despicable. And I hope that we can, the wider public can start to really assimilate this and get aware of this so that we can, overthrow these dictators in our own countries. You know, these ruling elites that are exploiting everybody and causing austerity all around the world. And they are just perpetrating not only crimes against humanity, but the most outrageous lies to facilitate these crimes. So I just have to make the point about Bahrain, Stephen. It's just a complete outrage, but it is illustrative of what really is going on in Washington.
Indeed, Finney, and I wish we had more time. The music means we have to end the program. Finney, and I really appreciate you coming on. I look forward to having you back. Again, I apologize for the glitch at the beginning of the program. I'll just remind listeners that join us again. We'll certainly talk more about Syria tomorrow. It's possible we could have a lot more to talk about. Obama will speak today. I haven't checked to see if he's begun yet, but he will. It's possible even Bombs Away could begin tonight. But we'll be on tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at this time, Fridays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Make it a regular habit.